separation there, physically speaking, back in creation, and now we see there's a separation here, spiritually speaking. Just as God separated light and darkness, the day and the night during creation, so should spiritual light and spiritual darkness be separate from one another. We want to follow after God and do His will. Well, He is light, and we must walk in the light, and we must bind ourselves to being those who shine the light. If we want to walk in darkness, well, in Him there is no darkness at all, 1 John chapter 1 says. So we will be separated from Him if we walk the path of darkness, the path of wickedness. And this should serve as a reminder of the severity, if you will, of pursuing sin and wickedness. Because as Isaiah says, you are separated from God because of your iniquities. We are separated from God when we sin, doomed to walk in darkness. Living a life of sin and self-destruction is a life that is lived far from God. You know, we're all here tonight because we want to pursue the path of light. We want to pursue the path of the just, the path of righteousness, chasing after God's light, walking in His light, pursuing His ways. Solomon says, be all in on that. Path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. It sounds like poetic language. I think about perfect day as, it almost sounds like a comparison to what's to come, if you will. That perfect day that we get to be with God forever. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But again, that poetry and that verse makes me think of that. Any other thoughts about these verses? Okay. Chapter 4 ends with verses 20 through 27, where Solomon finalizes the chapter with the call to be, I'll say, on the straight and narrow. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying, and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. A lot of this stuff sounds familiar, as we've read in previous verses. We see the call for his son to give attention to his words, to incline his ears to his sayings, not to let these things depart. Basically all the things we keep hearing Solomon say to his son. Listen to me. Keep these words that I'm going to tell you close to you. Live by them. Continue in them. Don't let them leave you. But the standout verse here is in verse 23, which says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What is meant by this saying? What is keeping your heart with all diligence? Vigilance, okay. Very good point there. Yeah, those three words, getting down to the Hebrew definition, think about the word keep. That means to guard. The heart means the inner man. And diligence, to Johnny's point here, is a word that is usually regarding a place of confinement or a guard post or a prison. So we are to guard our inner person with the same diligence of a night watchman or a prison guard. Protect your inner person from letting the things that shouldn't be there. Pretty much what Johnny just said there. We got to make sure that our inner person isn't being afflicted. The word he used was corrupted. Basically being turned away from God by all these outside sources. Now we're given this warning because, as Solomon says, from our heart springs the issues of life. What issues do you think spring from the heart? Very good point there. Now, when I think about that word issues, where do we get that word issues from in comparison to what you just said here? The source of life, you know. That almost sounds more positive than issues of life. That sounds more negative, don't you think? Problems. And so, in a sense, that night watchman, that guardsman we were talking about, they're also for watching what comes out of your heart, one may say. Because, you know, as we've been alluding to with our conversation here, sometimes what comes out of the heart, if it is from a place of darkness, from a place of wickedness, that is what defiles a man. That's what Johnny was talking about a minute ago. That's the teaching of Jesus. If you got all these dark things held up in your heart, you're going to let that out sometimes if you're not careful. If you got good in your heart, you're going to let that out. And that's the preferable thing. So with this guarding your heart, keep the bad stuff out. If there's anything bad in it, don't let it out, but eliminate it. Now I think about that verse in Joel. I want to say it's chapter 2 and in verse 13, 12 or 13, where he says, rend your hearts. Tear it like you tear your clothing. Tear it instead of your clothing, I believe the verse even says. What's the point there? He's saying, you know, if you've got this bad heart, it's time for a do-over. God can give you this do-over. Rend your heart in the sense that you make sure you give God all the pieces. Johnny. Absolutely. Jim. I like that thought you gave about control, though. We can absolutely control, maybe not necessarily the thoughts themselves, but how we respond to these thoughts. Do we keep them around, or do we say, that's not a good thought to be having, let's steer away from that. Let's make sure that I put this aside, take it away from me, think better thoughts, think more wholesome, righteous, godly thoughts. You know, because like you said, all that stuff, the good and the bad, is going to be there, and it's going to be consistent, and we can choose what we can ponder on and what we can act on. Very good thoughts, y'all. So, we don't want our inner person to be plagued and troubled by these evil things. And instead, we want to guard our hearts diligently and to keep them close to God. Solomon then finishes the chapter by saying, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So kind of binding in all the things that we've been talking about here, Solomon ends with these thoughts about making sure your speech is clean, making sure your eyes are looking in the right direction, making sure you look and ponder the path of your feet, make sure you know where you're walking, that you're not in the walking in the paths of evil. And instead, make sure you are established in the ways of righteousness and do not turn from the right hand or the left. Do not turn to evil. Remove your foot from it completely. Solomon ends with these thoughts. Keep lies out of your mouth. Keep wicked thoughts out of your mouth. These things should not even be in our hearts. as ones who want to serve God, these things should not be in our hearts, and furthermore, should not be coming out of our mouths. Instead, Solomon says, keep your eyes straight, ponder the path of your feet, don't turn to the right or the left. Basically, keep on the righteous path. Keep on the straight and narrow. Keep yourself from looking at distractions. Keep yourself in check as you walk, as to never divert from the straight and narrow, and to never act as one walking on the path of wickedness. Any other thoughts on these verses? All righty then. I believe we're ready to get to the questions and answers for chapter 4. And these will cover our text questions here. First question. What do we learn about David based on what he taught Solomon? Pardon? Seek and uphold wisdom. Okay, very good. Carla, what do you have? Oh, yeah. Very good. I said that David understood the importance of wisdom and did his best to pass on the call to be wise to Solomon and teach him the will of the Lord above all else. David is the one who gave Solomon the drive to seek after wisdom. Because you look back at verses 3 through 5, Solomon says, when I was my father's son, he taught me, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. These things I'm teaching you. I want you to be wise. I want you to learn wisdom. I want you to be close to God. I want you to be involved with having godly wisdom. And so, we get Solomon as he is now. Question 2, what does the principal thing mean? First thing, the chief thing, the best thing, if you will. David is telling Solomon that the greatest thing that he could ever get is wisdom, according to verse 7, where Solomon's recounting the words of David, saying, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Question 3, what 4 things are we told that wisdom does for us? And what 4 things are we told we must do for wisdom in order to obtain them? So what 4 things does wisdom do for us? Brings honor, okay. Promotes and honors, yes. We also get in verse 6 that she will preserve you and keep you. And so, what 4 things are we told that we must do in order to obtain them? Exalt her, embrace her. Get understanding is good, but I also had forsake her, do not forsake her, excuse me, and love her. So in summary, loving wisdom, valuing wisdom, holding on to wisdom and never letting go of wisdom will bring protection, perseverance, promotion, and honor, according to verses 6 through 8 here. And as a bonus, verse 9 also says, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you, showing the rewards of wisdom, how wisdom will affect your life. New King James Version. Question 4 asks us, what do we learn about Solomon based on what he taught his son? And I realize in retrospect that's kind of a loaded question, since all chapter 1 through 9 is pretty much written toward his son. But as far as the context of this chapter, good, passing on what his father taught him. Anything else? Believed in believing in God and believed with in the actions one must take in order to show that. Anything else? Jim? Absolutely. You know, on that note, and what I kind of answered this question, I said that he made every effort for him. Solomon made every effort for his son, telling him, I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've showed you all that I've done. I've led you in the right paths. This is according to verses 10 and 11. This is what I'm doing for you. I want you to be on the path that I'm on, the path of loving wisdom, the way of wisdom, the righteous path. Follow this path. This is what I want for you, is essentially Solomon's message to his son in verse 10, 11. Question 5. What does Solomon say will not happen if his son listens to him? Not stumble, and your steps will not be hindered, according to verse 12. Very good. Question 6, what is meant by instruction is your life? Absolutely. Very good too, absolutely. You know, your life, how you live it, how you conduct yourself in the days of your life is defined by what instruction or discipline you adhere to. And if it's godly instruction, godly discipline, godly wisdom, you know you're always going to be on the right path. Johnny. Absolutely right about that. Anyone can know what wisdom says, but it takes one that's truly given themselves to wisdom to be able to understand and act upon and apply. Very good. Question 7, what warning does Solomon give about the path of the wicked? That's right. 14 and 15, he spends two verses saying the same thing over and over, saying, don't enter, don't walk on it, avoid it, don't travel on it, turn away from it, pass on. clear as day as you could get. This is not a path you want to walk upon. Question 8, run along with that. What happens when we walk the path of the wicked? Pardon? You become the wicked. That's absolutely one path that happens. You go down this path of wickedness, you're going to be one of them. You're going to turn into one of them. That, as Jim said earlier, bad company corrupts good morals. The people you surround yourself with. If you're going to walk down the path of the wicked, if you're going to be where the wicked are, if you're going to surround yourself with nothing but wickedness, it's going to have an effect on you. What else is it saying here? Oh, for sure. Now, I like that phrase you said there, insatiable and destructive behavior. You know, I've heard this comparison before, and I think I've actually talked about it in a previous Bible class, but they're comparing sin to trying to fill this unfillable hole. You know, it's kind of like the verses we read in the Proverbs here. You know, Solomon says, their sleep is taken away from them unless they do evil to someone. They eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. Those involved in it lust for it insatiably. You know, you're not just going to be on the path of the wicked, but you're going to be addicted to the path of the wicked. And I also dare say you'll be destroyed by the path of the wicked. Now, that's the thing about the wicked. They don't, you know, you hear about honor among thieves. Not so with the wicked. You don't know what to expect. They could turn on you in a moment's notice. And of course, the ultimate destruction comes in the end. Question 9. If someone would please read 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. First John 1, 5 through 7. First John, yeah. First John chapter 1, 5 through 7. Yeah. It's okay. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Okay, so with that in mind, how does John's writing compare to Solomon's, particularly verses 18 and 19 where we started this evening? Light and darkness. Both Solomon and John's writings show that we either walk in the light as he is in the light, or we walk in darkness. And if we want to walk with the Lord, we will choose the path of the light, the path of righteousness. And if we choose to walk in darkness, we will not be walking with God, because in him there is no darkness at all. So what does that tell us? I'll reword the secondary question here. What does that tell us about our relationship to God based on these ideas? Okay. walking in the light involves that sincerity, that want, that desire, that passion for God, and wanting to leave behind the path of darkness, wanting to leave behind the path of sin, sticking closer to God, because that's what we truly, deeply want. In our most sincerest form, that's what we should want. And we want to make sure that every day of our lives, that passion, that sincerity is further growing. That faith in Him, that love for Him, everything is growing as we walk in this path of light. All right. We are out of time for the night. Appreciate you all for your comments. We will pick up with question 10 next Wednesday. Thank you all again.